sitting courtside.
Podcast.
This goes out to you. This goes out to you.
Welcome everybody to the NBA Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Carlos, my co-host, Bleak G. Been a minute since we got a podcast in. Coming up on Christmas, past up Thanksgiving. Are you thankful for having the Houston Rockets at the top of the Western standings?
Well, they're not quite at the top. They're near the top.
They're near the top. They're pretty close.
You got a Golden State, winning every game they play for the last 12 games.
They're
But the Rockets, they do impress just because, riddled with injury, of course. You got no Dwight Howard, no T. Jones, no PBev.
Yeah.
Well, he just came back. I'm sorry. Patrick Beverley is back. But now you got Papa Nicolau getting hurt. But, man, we're winning with players like Donatas Montiunas and Tariq Black and even Joey Dorsey.
Oh, there's a Nick Johnson.
Yeah, you got Nick Johnson. I mean, who are these guys? How are they atop the Western Conference? How long will it last?
I guess we're gonna talk a little bit of NBA before we get into the fantasy stuff. I think it's interesting that the Rockets have been able to stay afloat. Go ahead and drop in the Houston Rockets corner anytime now.
Houston Rockets, that's my team. Houston Rockets, that's my team.
Or that's Houston Rockets, that's my team.
That is your team. I think it's interesting. You had Patrick Beverley out for a while. He just came back the other night. And then Isaiah Cannon, the backup point guard, was injured. Terrence Jones seems like he hasn't played basically all season.
Well, in the news on Dwight Howard, I don't know if you were getting there, but got this today, was that he's not going to play anytime soon, is what they said.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was injured so severely, I guess. But
yeah.
He's got a knee injury, not expected to return anytime in the near future. So that's a big...
He got some plasma treatment on his knee, hoping that would help speed the recovery there. I don't know if they were spinning blood cells or whatever it is they do, or maybe he took a trip to Germany. Maybe that science is over here in the States now. But it is unfortunate. It's interesting. I look down the Western Conference standings. You have Golden State, Houston, and then you have Houston, Portland, and Memphis all tied for the number two spot. And then San Antonio in at five, the Clippers, six, Dallas, and Phoenix. Now, that raises a question. Oklahoma City, speaking of guys that are coming back, do you think they have what it takes to sneak into the playoffs, being about four or five games out of the playoffs as it is right now?
Well, we know that they do. It's not but a quarter of the way through the season. If Durant and Westbrook can get healthy, everyone knows what they can do. So there's no doubt that they can. But the question you're posing is, who's going to be the team that misses out? Because it's a good Western Conference, as usual.
I think we're both in agreement that Phoenix is probably the team that will get knocked out of that eighth spot, and Oklahoma City will probably get at least the eighth, maybe sneak up to the sixth or seventh. Going over to the Eastern Conference, we've had a good amount of games in to kind of assess where the teams are. And surprisingly, Toronto sitting at the number one spot for the East, and then behind them you have Atlanta and Washington.
Well, you say surprisingly, and I'm not quite so surprised that Toronto's sitting atop the East.
The East is not a strong conference.
Well, it's not a strong conference, but that's you don't want to take anything away from the Raptors as well, because they are a pretty decent team, and Kyle Lowry is playing out of his mind. I was an owner last year. I'm an owner again this year. I mean, I'm all in on Kyle Lowry, and he's yet to disappoint me, man. The former Rockets, I still like him a lot, so I really like to see a team like Toronto atop the East right now.
Is it because you're secretly a big Drake fan?
That is not the case, as you well know about me, but yeah.
Well, behind Toronto at number one, you got Atlanta, you got Washington, and then Cleveland at four, Chicago at five, which most people thought that those two teams would be the best two out of the East and probably will end up finishing that way.
Yeah,
I feel like Chicago with Derrick Rose injury all the time. You never know if he's going to play in any given day.
And plus, Toronto's only up on Cleveland and Chicago by 3 games.
Yeah.
It's still early in the NBA season. It's still time for Cleveland to kind of gel together. They'll be right up there come the end.
After all of the, scuttlebutt about maybe Kevin Love going to the Lakers.
Scuttlebutt? Wow.
Yeah. I think that it's funny how, everybody's been saying, though, they need to play defense. If they're going to be a title-contending team, no NBA team can really get there without at least being close to top 10 NBA defense. And at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, my boys dropped to Detroit basketball. Right above Philadelphia, so the Pistons have won 3 games while Philadelphia has won 2 games.
And Detroit is on a 12-game losing streak at the moment. That's going to hurt, man.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. It hurts my heart. It hurts.
Well, better luck next year, you know?
I don't know what it is. I watch a lot of Pistons basketball, being a big fan as I am, and I get on. You know what I love? You know what I'm thankful for since we skipped the Thanksgiving episode? I'm thankful for the trunculated episodes on NBA League Pass, like the playback. Like, it'll just play you 10 minutes, just a short version of a game. So I want to go back and see what this game looked like, as opposed to sifting through all the commercials, trying to, hit fast forward on my laptop or... So yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's condensed. Yeah. So I watch a lot of Pistons basketball, and I noticed that Josh Smith is not good at basketball in general. Brandon Jennings is obviously not himself with his recent thumb injury. And Andre Drummond has a lot of potential, but still has a hard time staying on the floor with foul trouble.
What's your boy Greg Monroe up to?
He's sneakily consistent, but 15-6 is not, or 15-8, whatever he's averaging, it's not anything that's going to wow the world. That being said, he doesn't get used as much because he's too busy watching Kyle Singler, Jonas Jerebko, Latavius Caldwell-Pope, Karam Butler, and Josh Smith shooting three-pointers. They're not a good three-point shooting team at this point, but that seems like it's something that they want to do. Not everybody can be the Houston Rockets.
That's my team.
That is your team.
Watching the three-pointers all day. Yeah. That's how we do it.
Well, enough about the Pistons, enough about the standings. Let's just close up the Eastern Conference standings. We got Cleveland, Chicago, 4-5, and then 6 is Milwaukee. You got Miami at 7 and Brooklyn at 8. And then trying to knock in on that 8th spot is Orlando. So, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are obviously disappointed with Charlotte not playing well, Lance Stephenson not fitting in. And then you got teams like New York, Carmelo Anthony, it's not getting much help on a daily basis. So the East is ugly. The West has been entertaining, though. Definitely, NBA League Pass team is Golden State Warriors. They're fun to watch.
As is usually the case, as the West being more fun to watch than the East.
Yeah, think so?
Yeah, I do.
And you're not a big fan of the 76ers? No, well, I know the Rockets are your team, but your team has been pretty hurt, so why don't we go ahead and talk about some other teams that have some injured players and get into the injury report.
Down, Chuck. He is not getting up. He's had the stingers that have gone through his body. He had just a glazed look in his eyes as he lay there on the floor.
But it's like a boxer who got hit, staggering, and has no balance, was obviously... woozy, and John Ludington is really hurt.
All right, Garrett, so like I said, there's a lot of teams that got a lot of injured players right now. Some guys are coming back on the mend. Houston Rockets just got Patrick Beverley back.
It's been all Rockets so far, so let's go ahead and continue that.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah. Terrence Jones, he's going to be out at least until mid-December with his knee issues.
It's discouraging, man. I want these players back, but in the meantime, bench players holding it down.
Papa Nicolau also banged knees the other night. Probably not going to be playing Wednesday against Golden State. Francisco Garcia.
Not really worth mentioning, so we can move from home along from there.
Isaiah Cannon, the backup point guard, is also dealing with the rolled ankle. So, yeah, but if you got Isaiah Cannon, who's also dealing with an ankle injury, so...
All right, what about Brook Lopez and his back injury? He's going to be out... until at least mid-December as well. I think you tried to trade him to me, did you not?
I did offer a trade for Chandler Parsons, and you were going to receive Brook Lopez. I saw that your centers were a little lacking, so I thought I'd give you some help there. And
also, I was very frustrated at Chandler Parsons. I think I put him on my trade block. Even put a comment out there, like something to the effect of, you know, I need Chandler Parsons off of my team.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I still got him, and he's still playing okay. I guess I love to hate him at this point.
He's my best friend.
Yeah, he's your best friend. I'm jealous. And now he's in Dallas, and neither one of us can hang out with him anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Chandler was quite the ladies' man. Well, enough about Brook Lopez. I don't know what his status is. Check the news updates. Supposed to be getting an MRI. Doesn't sound good. You know, when you're dealing with a back center like Brook Lopez is constantly injured. So, you know, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, you never know when he's going to come back with his foot issues.
Well, he's supposed to come back by this Wednesday, which is, I believe, the 10th. 10th of December, he's supposed to be back. So, been waiting a while. I still got him on the bench, so I have faith that he's going to come back soon.
What do you think he's going to do? You got Lance Stevenson, you got Kemba Walker, that he's not going to get that many looks. Plus, Gerald Henderson has been playing pretty decent in his place.
He's worth mentioning, though. I got him on the bench. I'm going to see what he can do. You know, I'm not having to.
Yeah, well, going right down the list, you got guys like Kenneth Faried, who are also dealing with back issues. His status is up in the air. So you got JaVale McGee, who's also dealing with those leg issues, and I think that's going to be a continuous thing. But the benefactor of JaVale McGee being out with his injury is Timothy Mozgov has been pretty decent as of late as well. We're getting him in the leads. You got Joey Meeks still going to be coming back possibly at the end of December for the Pistons. Maybe that'll help us with our three-point shooting like I was talking about earlier in the podcast. David Lee, his hamstring issue, I think with the fact that Golden State is rolling right now and Draymond Green is doing so well, and then Harrison Barnes as well, I just don't know if they're going to be speeding back David Lee anytime soon.
There's no real need for them to. I mean, like we said, they're on a 12-game win streak, and you know, no need to rush a man. He's only played in one game. But, you know, let him get fully healthy before he comes back.
Word on the street is George Hill is not going to be coming back anytime soon, even though previous reports were that people were optimistic about him, you know, coming back. But I think it's still going to be at least another couple weeks. George Hill is a pretty decent fantasy option when healthy, but I'm just not going to take a risk on a guy that hasn't played all season coming back from surgery.
Another Indiana Pacers player, Paul George, is he going to come back anytime soon?
No.
No?
Not soon, no. Not good, no. It's just not, it's not good. Not good for the Pacers in general. You talk about the Lakers, obviously, you know, you got your Nashes, your Julius Randles, but
nothing new there.
Xavier Henry is also out, you know, so I don't even know why I talked about the Lakers. They're right. T-Rash. Yeah. The Milwaukee Bucks, I think that they've been dealing with, you know, Larry Sanders caught a little bit of the flu bug that was going around, so he should be back sooner than later. Ilyasova dealing with some injuries. John Henson's got some foot stuff going on, so he may be missing some time. I think it's interesting what Milwaukee's doing. They're not giving too many guys a lot of minutes. There's a lot of interchangeable parts. The one consistent player on that team is Brandon Knight. Enough about the Bucks. Let's go on down to the Timberwolves with our injury report here.
We got another heavily injured team.
Yeah, yeah. Mo Williams was a pretty good fantasy option there, but he's also dealing with back issues.
Kevin Martin was surprising, man, and he's going to be out at least until January, mid-January.
Broken wrist, like that. Well, yeah. Ricky Rubio, you saw what happened to him with his ankle. Looked really bad, so he's out definitely. And then you got Petkovic dealing with wrist issues, so you know he's day to day. It's just it's not a good team. Thaddeus Young and Zach LaVine, a lot of young guys.
Yeah, a lot of young guys playing hard out there though. I mean, they took the Rockets to OT the other night, which was surprising. But
the Rockets also missed a lot of guys. Going on down the list, you got Eric Gordon. He's dealing with shoulder stuff as usual.
Yeah, who didn't see that coming?
He's going to be out indefinitely. I guess the major benefactor is Tyreek Evans in that situation, and he's been taken full advantage of that. And then you also have more shots for Jrue Holiday, who's been sneakily surprising this year. I got him later, mid-round pickup, and I'm pretty happy with Holiday's production. All right, going on down the list, DeMarcus Cousins. What I find surprising about DeMarcus Cousins is that he's missed more than a couple games with this viral infection, and I just don't know the magnitude of it. It's unfortunate, but hopefully he gets back soon.
Yeah, something like that can take, for you to fully recover and to be able to perform at the level NBA players do, can take a week, maybe a little more, even 2 weeks. All right.
Look, I'm not a doctor. Okay.
I know you're not, but I'm telling you about viral meningitis.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you had a guy on your team that had a viral infection, would you want him on the bench next to all of your healthy players?
No.
You want him home. You want him resting, right?
It would seem to be the right choice to make.
Why the fuck do I keep on seeing DeMarcus Cousins at the end of the bench like some kind of half, like, awake, like he's... He looks like he's walking dead, man. He doesn't look healthy at all. Every time they cut to DeMarcus, he's just like, man. He just...
Maybe it's not contagious?
I don't know.
I'm not a doctor either, so I couldn't really tell you.
I'm just saying, keep the sick guy away from
me. I would imagine that they would have enough common sense to not let him, but you never know.
Yeah, I really hope so. Well, Tony Parker is dealing with a hamstring, or maybe that's just what
That's what old Pop's saying. They don't care, man.
Yeah.
Just meaningless regular season games right now.
Yeah, Thiago Splitter hasn't been healthy pretty much all season, so that's to be expected. A big name, and unfortunately, we were talking about how well the Toronto Raptors were playing, but without DeMar DeRozan, they've still been pretty competitive as of late, and...
It's Kyle Lowry, man. He runs that team. That is his team.
Terrence Ross is picking up as well.
A little bit.
Got James Johnson, who's a nice energy guy. I love me a good neck tattooed physical specimen who doesn't mind doing some junkyard work.
Don't forget Amir Johnson, who's starting to play well.
Amir Johnson's got good hands, and he's playing really good with Valanciunas. They complement each other pretty well. Amir kind of back him up, but he's not doing good. And Valanciunas is back in the game. I mean, it's a good 1-2 punch. That is just definitely a interesting team. You got Gravis Vasquez coming off the bench, helping out with the point guard duties with Lowry. But still, DeMar DeRozan, he was really having a breakout year,
They just need to take it back to throwback Raptors jerseys.
The David Stoudemire circa?
Man, that's what's up. You don't even know. But you do know, actually. But
I know very well, yeah. I was a big fan of Damon Stoudemire, and I did like those jerseys, the Marcus Cambys, if you will. Going on, kind of tying up this injury report bow with a knot here, Alec Burks. Looks like he might need shoulder surgery at the end of the season. So I don't know. I mean, I was looking at Alec Burks. I liked his production overall. I was thinking, maybe I'll pick him up, a little point guard, shooting guard help. A point guard that likes to rebound, likes to get some steals, doesn't really shoot the three-point ball well, but makes his free throws.
I like him as a player, though, too. I mean, if he gets minutes, he can be a productive guy.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because over there in Utah, you got Trey Burke, you got Dante Exum, who's just like trying to knock at the door, but Burke's like, you keep on knocking, but you can't come in. And then Gordon Hayward, he's playing out of his mind. The Utah Jazz has been an interesting team to watch. I kind of like them. That being said, I don't know if Burks is a safe pickup off the waiver wire. Would you give him a second look?
Was it last year that I said that the Utah Jazz were an interesting team and that I liked them? And They had a shot to make the playoffs, and I think you tried to ridicule me for it. And now you're on the bandwagon too, huh?
Yeah, well, look, Derek Favors is playing really well, and Cantor has his moments. He's not as consistent as he could be. But, yeah, I like watching Gordon Hayward, babyface killer. This guy comes in, and he's just ready to ball. And he's getting blocked shots, too. I mean, he's athletic.
No, he really is.
He looks like he's bulked up a little bit, too.
He can do a little bit of everything, and you're right. He's gained some muscle, and he's doing everything in every facet of the game. He's winning games for them.
Yeah. Well, last guy on our injury report is Martell Webster for the Washington Wizards. Rasul Butler has been the main benefactor of his back injury, and it looks like he could be out for at least another couple weeks. Well, that being said, I think that does it for our injury report. You want to go ahead and get into some guys that are getting fired? I know you've recently let some guys go. Why don't we go ahead and talk about who's getting dropped in most fantasy basketball leagues? Let's get into the fired list. That leads.
I don't care, Bob. You're fired. You're fired! Clean out your locker at the club, Bob. You're fucking fired!
All right, Garrett, let's talk about a few guys that were kind of letting go, aren't really fitting the bill, aren't really playing to their skills, maybe aren't getting minutes, possibly injured. Let's go ahead and get into the fired list. First guy on the fired list, that is Donald Sloan. I think with the return of Rodney Stuckey, now starting at point guard for Indiana, it's really made Donald Sloan kind of see a little bit more of the pine.
Yeah, his production has definitely dropped off, and he's coming off the bench now. So, yeah, he had a nice little run there, but the time has passed, at least for now, and definitely go ahead and drop him.
Rodney Stuckey, maybe a speculative ad, doing halfway decent for the most part.
Yeah, I can go with speculative, I guess.
To check it out, yeah, we'll type in on that one. Another guy getting fired, that's Sean Williams. He's kind of like a specialist, mostly get you threes for Miami, but really doesn't do much else. And, you know, he's kind of hit or miss, I think, with Josh McRoberts coming back. And it's really eaten into his minutes as well. So his role has been reduced. So I could see people firing Sean Williams.
Well, another one that's on there, somebody that I want to mention, was Courtney Lee. He was a good hot ad there at the time, I guess. A quick pickup, but yeah, he's not doing much now. So time to get rid of him, I would say.
I'm looking at this fired list, and I'm ashamed because I see a lot of guys that I've owned at one point in time.
When you make a lot of moves, that'll happen.
That'll happen from time to time. You ride the hot hand, you let him go, and you pick up somebody else. So Iman Shumpert, I had him at the beginning of the year. One of the first picks I picked up off the waiver wire. But I like the threes, like the steals, like the blocks.
Yeah, you know you're going to get with it from him with the defense and everything, but his percentages aren't always going to be good. You know, he can get some threes, yeah, but he's not going to score a ton, you know.
Well, here's why I picked up Iman Shumpert, is that he was one of the most top-rated assisting small forwards. And
so,
I'm sorry, shooting guards.
Where's he at now?
Well, when Jose Calderon came back, you know, then that he really took the ball out of Iman Shumpert's hands, and that affected his.
Well, Calderon is a point guard. Shumpert,
of course,
Shumpert's a two.
Yeah, so. But you know, they did let Shump run a lot of plays and whatnot. I don't think he was bringing the ball up every time or anything like that. Another guy that I once owned, and that is Evan Fournier. Now, honestly, if you like low end production and rebounds, assists, maybe a few steals here and there, but it'll get you some three-pointers, then yeah, maybe you want to go with the Fournier. But the thing with Fournier is that once Victor Oladipo came back, you knew that he wasn't going to be as ball dominant. And his production has been dropping off precipitously since Victor Oladipo came back from that facial situation.
Well, isn't there another player here that we're going to talk about on the most drop list that you just dropped as well?
Kelly? I just dropped my boy Kelly. Looks like he's from the beach. Olynyk. Kind of had to. Tyler Zeller's been outplaying him, and his minutes have dropped pretty bad. I liked Kelly Olynyk's upside because he could knock down the three ball and get you a few blocks here and there. But if you don't have the minutes, you don't have the production, then I don't got the time. Another guy that I recently let go of, Ben McLemore.
You got them all, dude.
Yeah, I had a good little run there with Ben McLemore. He had me some good points, but I decided to pick up I think maybe Wilson Chandler, who's been playing really good. So I feel confident with that move. Another few guys that are on the drop list that I once owned. Contavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, I mean, I see the upside in owning him. He can get you some rebounds. He can get you some steals. He can knock down some three-pointers. But at the same time, you know, he's a little inconsistent with the shot. The field goal percentage is not always great. The free throw percentage can be a little better. And he just doesn't give me enough of those fantasy goodies. The fact that he really doesn't get a lot of block shots. I know he's a shooting guard, but you know, he's really a small forward type on the Pistons, and when I watch him, I just don't like his defense. Another guy that's getting dropped a lot, that is Perry Jones, Jeremy Lamb, those guys for OKC with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook being back. They're basically irrelevant. You got guys getting dropped like Elfrid Payton for the Orlando Magic. He's just field goal percentage. It's kind of iffy. And sometimes he's getting minutes, sometimes he's not. I know I dropped Andre Iguodala in a couple of leagues. I know I've owned Channing Frye in a couple of leagues. I had to let him go. I like bigs who shoot threes, but he went through a good stretch there where he was in single-digit scoring and he wasn't getting any threes. So, you know, it's just a lot of ebb and flow guys out there. Sometimes they're hot, sometimes they're not. Pick them up, drop them. All right, Garrett. Well, I think that almost does it for the drop list. We'll sneak one more guy in there, Ersan Ilyasova.
You got to talk about the Night Stalker, right?
Yeah, the Night Stalker is... You know, it's interesting. The Bucks got a weird big man rotation with Henson and Sanders and Zaza.
But it's just a broken nose, so, you know, no big deal, right?
Yeah, apparently somebody was stalking him, and he got struck possibly in the middle of the night, probably in the middle of the game. Well, that being said, I think that does it for our drop list. Why don't we go ahead and talk about the leads? We got some hot ads.
You got leads. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
All right, Garrett. We're going to go ahead and talk about some guys that are getting picked up these last couple of days. One guy that jumps out, a relatively unknown name out of Philadelphia, Robert Covington. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, relatively unknown, but, you know, of course, anything relating to my Rockets, gonna, you know about. But he used to play in the D-League here for Houston and played for the team for a little bit.
Well, you know, you look at his lines. He had about three good games in a row, getting close to 30 minutes in all those games. And the Philadelphia 76ers won two out of those three, once against Detroit and once against once against Minnesota. So, you know, maybe the coach sees something he likes. Going to give him some extra run. That being said, I don't really like the block numbers for a power forward.
You know, I didn't think...
You do like the three-pointers from a big man. That's always fun.
He's not like a conventional power forward, though, I don't believe. I always pictured him as sort of like a three, even a big three, but not a power forward. I don't know. But anyways, he's been having some decent games, and he might be worth an ad to see how it pans out in the meantime. But he's definitely worth considering.
Yeah, he's a great free throw shooter. He's a great free throw shooter. He can make you a couple threes if given the minutes. And his field goal percentage looks fairly decent the last couple games. Right on down the list, a sharpshooter I just picked up from Washington, a seasoned veteran, if you will. That's Rasul Butler. He's knocking down some three-pointers, getting some decent minutes as of late.
He's been around for quite some time, man.
He has. He will get you a few steals here and there. doesn't do much else than possibly give you some rebounds and knock down some three-pointers, but he makes his free throws, he's savvy, he knows how to set up his teammates, he's a ball player, and he really does stretch the floor well, and is kind of picking up that role that Trevor Ariza had for Washington, just knocking down those corner threes.
Well, another top add is going to be my boy P-Bev, finally came back. Patrick Beverly is back. And he had 5 3-pointers in his return. And, man, he was buckets. He was draining them. So I'm not saying that's going to happen every game, but he is the best shooter, the best 3-point shooter on the Rockets team percentage-wise at the moment. So he hasn't played in every game.
Has not played in every
but
game.
But he does have, he does have a good amount of attempts. So
Yeah. I do like Beverly. He is a difference maker defensively for your Houston Rockets.
He really is, but he does a lot of stuff, too, that doesn't show up in the box score, just his hustle, you know? But he's a great rebounding guard as well. He'll go out there and get you a lot of rebounds.
Another guy that I had picked up in a few other leagues, that was Zach LaVine. With Mo Williams dealing with the back issues, Zach LaVine might be somebody you might want to jump on. He can get you some assists. He can put the ball in the basket. He's not very consistent with his field goal percentage, and he will throw in a couple of skunk nights and some lowly scoring nights. But coming off of a 22-10 game against San Antonio,
and by 10 you mean 10 assists?
Yeah, 10 assists. He's a point guard. And 2 turnovers. He's a pretty good point guard option. And obviously, if you have Ricky Rubio, you definitely want to handcuff either Zach LaVine right now.
Getting plenty of minutes. He's getting plenty of minutes.
If Mo Williams comes back, I think that Mo Williams has been a little more consistent player overall, and you probably want to own him. But there's Mo Williams being injured right now.
They're so devastated by injury, like you just said, that he's going to continue to get minutes. And they're impressed. I mean, I was impressed. I watched him play the other night.
He's a tall kid.
Yeah. No, he is. And he looks kind of... He looks like he still hasn't completely grown into his body yet because he's lanky and the way he moves, it doesn't look that natural, but he's got a lot of athleticism.
Yeah, he was a good draft pick, and it looks like Minnesota is stacking up some nice blue chips over there. Another guy on the ad list, Mr. Zeller, not my brother, but Tyler. Taking away some of the thunder from my boy Kelly Olynyk, taking over the starting job in Boston. And slowly but surely, he's putting it to good use, getting some double-digit rebounds. You know, won't get you a lot of blocks, but for a big guy, he can make his free throws, and he has a good field goal percentage. What do you feel about adding Tyler Zeller on your fantasy team?
Like you said, he gets some of those double-digit rebound games, which are hard to argue with, especially just, you know, a free agent ad. So if you're looking to improve that, that's a good ad. And like you said, you know, he shoots decent free throws. He did score 24 points in his most recent game.
He was facing the Lakers, who don't have a legitimate defensive power forward or center.
It's true, but then you look at his field goal percentage was a healthy 91% as well. So.
Pretty healthy. Again,
you can't really argue with it.
When you're facing the Lakers, you know, the Lakers are not that good. All right, going on down the list, you got who? Your favorite player in the world?
Demo. Donatas Montiunas.
Did I call him Giannis?
I think you did. I did just actually add him because, man, he really has impressed me. I it's no secret that I watch all the games, the Rockets games, and man, he's doing it all. He's playing defense. He's getting rebounds. He's scoring. Getting some block shots in there. It's really been impressive, and he's going to continue to get a lot of minutes. We're hampered by injury as well. I think it's going to be a good pickup for several weeks probably to come.
I was impressed with how they went to Donatas at the end of the game against Minnesota. He kind of helped put the Rockets into overtime.
And he clutch made 2 free throws when he's usually not a very good free throw shooter.
Yeah, so the kid's got a little bit of the ice water in the veins. I think when Terrence Jones comes back, It's going to be a timeshare situation. Speaking of T. Jones, you got any news on Terrence? So I think that maybe when Terrence Jones comes back, it might be a timeshare situation with Demo and T. Jones. What do you think?
Of course, T. Jones, if he's healthy, he's going to get his minutes. But they're going to find a way to get keep Monty Unis involved, I believe, especially if he keeps playing well. They've been wanting this for so long, and it's finally coming to fruition, having Demo being able to produce on that level. But Terrence Jones, who really knows, man? It's been quite some time. He is practicing a little bit and could be coming back soon, but there's no clear timetable. He's just a good player to maybe stash a little early for when he does come back.
Fair enough. Well, put a bow on it. Add a couple more guys. I know your boy, one of my favorite players to watch, and that's Swaggy P. Nick Young is getting picked up in a few leagues. He's you know, trying to get the money ball going there. Knocked down 5 triples against the Wizards the other night, so that's always good. He makes his free throws at a pretty decent rate. And, I mean, he's not getting a whole bunch of minutes, but with the minutes that he does get, you know he's not going to pass. You know he's not going to get you anything else other than just a few rebounds, mostly threes.
So, basically, so you're saying that he's not putting all of his concentration into Iggy Azalea's ass and focusing on basketball?
He probably should be putting some more attention on Iggy Azalea's posterior, if you would, or her rump, moneymaker.
Derriere?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about it.
Yeah, get that gossip in there, man. It's Hollywood news.
No, man, but I like Swaggy P, and here's why. The Lakers win a game for the first time in a long time, and then when they go to interview him at the end of the game, they go, well, Nick, how do you feel about your presence helped affect the team, and this is a nice win? And he's like, oh, you know me. It's just the swag effect. You know, like the swag effect just took over.
He's a little cocky, though.
On the whole team, the swag effect.
I'm sure that Kobe loves that.
Kobe, over under on how many more weeks before Kobe Bryant, you know,
strangles him
or possibly, you know, shivs him or something, or throws an elbow a little too hard at practice. Nick Young's got a black eye, or
rapes Iggy Azalea.
Wait, what? I did not say that. I can't condone that.
Take that out.
I can't take that out. I gotta keep that in. That's what Kobe said. Kobe. Dave Chappelle. Kobe. Well, I think that about does it for the podcast. Was there any other players that you want to talk about adding before I tell the nice folks to have a nice weekend?
I would believe that about wraps it up.
Have a nice weekend. Have a nice day. I don't know when you listen to the podcast, or, you know, I don't know. Maybe Humphreys? You want to add Humphreys?
I'm good.
Kardashian?
Nope.
Is he good? He's good. All right, folks. Well, until next time, check out the Facebook page, the Fantasy Podcast. Don't forget to set your line.
Check it. Yo, the clock's ticking. Had dreams to pass the rock. Like Rod Strickland, pop like Scott Pippen. But these days, it's been like I'm moving backwards. At this rate, my next sentence is gonna be my last word. They say knowledge is a test of the man. Well, I did that, but I don't understand the rest of the plan. But I'm just trying to do the best I can. So send a message to the fans that I'm a destined to win. Maybe I need to take the lesson again. Stay focused instead of smoking sets with my friends. But it's hopeless to stay broke and shit suspended in time. Cause the reason that we're here now is bad to left behind.
Welcome to reality. See, times is hard.
In this life, it's mad hard to make it.
Cause you never know when you're gonna go.
Seasons change, bad things be arranged.
Welcome to reality. See, times is hard.
In this life, it's mad hard to make it.
Hey
yo, the plot thickens, time moves, my mind slipping. Thoughts and new beginnings are lost, the record spinning, exhausted. Dopest minds are locked in a coffin. No one to tell the children not to do what their boss said. Quick to quiet the scene and calm down a crowd. Tell all the free thinkers they gotta sit the fuck down. Keep cool. collect, sign the check, shuffle their feet. Make sure every young artist turn into an old sheep. And I hate it, even though the school is integrated. You'll never see a crew of black, white, and gay kids. I'm stressing, caught up by the ills of the earth. And we regressing as a culture, maybe it's time to coerce. And it's strange, getting caught up in these heartaches and pains. Promise to never conform, tell I'm blue in the veins. Keep my head low, stay the same, try to maintain. Continue to stay focused, even as the seasons change.
Welcome to reality, see times is hard.
In this life, it's bad hard to make it.